Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Ches. We are holding a daf Zayin on base. We are at Va'asher Tilamdeim. Asher Tilamdeim Mibayulei. Last words of the line are Asher Tilamdeim. About 12:50 lines from the end of the page. Today's year is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and leading this was his mother, Golda Basimcha, Allah Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadin for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should return home safely, as well as by Jeremy Lussman, in honor of the 100th birthday, Baruch Hashem, of his grandmother, Bubby Goldie Cantor, who's celebrating with her family this week in Toronto, wishing her continued health, happiness, bracha, and nachas, ad me'ev esrim shana. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So first we're going to continue discussing the halachos of dayanim, and what the dayanim need to be careful about, and what their relationship with the Balei Din ought to be and ought not to be. Then the Gemara is going to discuss how judges and leaders should in general act toward the people that are under their charge. The Gemara is going to discuss a little bit about the process of Hazmana Ledin, of inviting or not inviting, of a subpoena to a Beis Din. Then we're going to discuss when it comes to Dine Knossos. So we know that Dine Knossos is Bishlosha, and we know that by regular Dine Mamnus, a Yachid Mumcha can work. Can you have a Yachid Mumcha for Dine Knossos as well? And then from the bottom of Amud Aleph all the way through much of tomorrow's daf, we're going to go to explain the machlokas, whether Motzi Shemra needs 3 dayanim or 23 dayanim. The Gemara is going to have 8 different explanations of that machlokas, whether dinim, so davchas, 8 different explanations, Erev Chanukah, 8, right? Okay, so we have 8 different explanations of whether dinim amvis is b'shlosha or b'chav gimel. So let's begin. We are at Asher Talandemi Bayile, meaning the Gemara Darshan is the end of the pasuk that we were just talking about. Ve'ela mishpatim asher tasim. So the Gemara says, "Asher t'lam deim mi bayilei." It should have said, "Asher t'lam deim." What do you mean, "Tasim lefnehem"? So I'm Rabbi Yirmiyah, the Itaim Rabbi Chia Baraba, Elu Kleya Dayanim. Right? Since mishpatim are things that you teach, it's not things that you place in front of somebody. So we must be referring to something physical over here. So we're referring to the Kleya Dayanim that are actually placed in front of the Dayanim, where the Balei Din can see them. And what are these Kleya Dayanim? So the Gemara tells us, Rav Huna ki have nafak ledina. When Rav Huna went to his Beis Din, Amar Hachi, he would tell his shamashin, Afikuli mani chanusai, bring me my equipment. And what is that? Makal, it's a whip with which to do makas mardus, or ritzua, and a different type of whip to give regular malkus, vishufra, and a shofar with which to put someone in nidui, visandala, and the special chalitza shoe that every Beis Din has in case they ever have to do a chalitza. So those are the Klei hadayanim. Vatzavish of Techem Beisahi. The pasuk says, Vatzavish of Techem Beisahi, Tzavish, the lotion of Zeruz, Som Rabbi Yochanan, Kedegan Makal Ritzua, Te Zoriz. They should be Zoriz to be Matil Emal Atzibor, to give a certain sense of fear and dread in the eyes of the people. And they should do that, L'shem Shemaim, so that people will have a proper respect for the authority of the Beis Din. So the Gemara Darshan is the end of the pasuk. It says, Shema Bein Achechem, Ushvatetem, that we have an asara for the Beis Din that they should not listen to one of the Balei Din prior to having to the arrival of the other Balei Din. And the Balei Din have that same responsibility that they should not present their case before the other Balei Din is there. Kari Beinami, Shama Beinachechem. That you can read the pasuk as if it says that Shama Beinachechem, that you should be mashmiya dvarecha only when it's beinachechem. Only you should only let your argument be heard when the two of you are there. But if it's not the two of you there, then your argument should not yet be heard. Meaning it's so easy to exaggerate or to give a false impression when the other party is not there. But when the other party is there, it keeps you honest a little bit. He can call you out if you say something that's not true, that's not correct. So if you get the first word, you'll bias the judge before he ever before the other party can do anything about it. Rav Kana Amar Mehach. Rav Kana says we learn the same message just from a different pasuk. Mi lo sisa, it says lo sisa shema shav, meaning that you shouldn't be makabel, that the dayan should not listen to one Baal Din before the other one shows up. And we could read the pasuk lo tasi, that it's an isra on the Baal Din himself not to make make his argument heard before the other party is heard. So Gemara continues. The pasuk says that ushvatetem tzedek. It says vatzaves shofteichem beisi lemar shema ben achechem ushvatetem tzedek. So what's that? Amrei Shlakish tzedekas hadin v'achar kach adcheu. First, make sure you know what the MS is. Make sure that you have a clear picture of what the din is, and then give a final psak. So it says bein ishu bein achiv. Amrav Yehuda, what does that tell me? That it's a yushvatam tzedek is between a man and his brother. It means afilu bein bayis la'aliyah, that you should make sure that it's perfectly true and correct, even if what you're splitting is two brothers yashin the house, and one of them is going to get the lower floor apartment, the other one's going to get the upper floor apartment. And like, what difference does it make? There's two apartments. One will get one, the other one will get the other. So one is worth $300,000, the other is worth $320,000. It's no big deal. Just split it anyway. You know, you'll just take one. The other one will take the other. No, you're not allowed to do it. You have to be very careful to make sure that you're doing it evenly, that you're doing it properly. You can't just take the easy way, the lazy way out, and say, okay, it's two apartments, and each one will get one. Uvein geiro, and it says vein geiro is the lashon of co-residence. So I'm Rav Yehuda afilu bein tanur l'kirayim, even if it's a tanur and a kirayim, which both cook food and they're both roughly the same price range. So you don't say, okay, one brother gets the tanur, the other one gets the kira. No, you have to divide it in a way that's of equal value, that each brother is going to get equal value. You cannot be lazy about arranging for the proper division of the estate. And it says, Vaiter in the pasuk, lo sakiru panaba mishpat. Rabbi Yehuda omer, lo takireyu, that you should not be mezake if you happen to know one of the balei din, to like one of the balei din. That cannot be something that helps sway the din Torah. Rabbi Lazar omer, lo tinakrehu, if you happen to dislike one of the balei din, that also cannot be something that sways the din Torah. So Gemara brings a maisa that relates to that. Ushbezichne de Rav, one of the hosts of Rav, someone who used to host Rav from time to time, Asal Kabel Adina, came to a din Torah in front of him, Samrlo. So the person said to Rav, Lav Ushbezichneat, aren't you my guest? I'm the one that, that I take care of you all the time. So you remember the chesed that I've done with you. So he alluded to their previous relationship. Amrlo in, Rav says, of course, I'm so appreciative. Samrlo Dina Isli says, oh, I've been meaning to tell you. I have a din Torah, so maybe you can help me out. So Rav said to him, Pasil nilach ledina. No. I have to recuse myself from any case that you're involved with. I am absolutely pasil to dan a din Torah with you. Now, the Tosfos points out in Dibra Maskel Pasilna, Marchi kaya atzmo, aval min adin, lo mifsil. This was an extra chumrah that Rav took. He was not actually pasil. V'cheinu d'shenei de'an l'gzeres, isolates it's on the piri. And we have a sugi at the end of Ksubas where someone brought a fruit basket to one of the Dayanim, and he used to regularly, and it had nothing to do with the din Torah. So it's not an actual psul, it's just a good thing. It's an harchaka yaseira not to get involved in such cases. However, the Kesef Mishnah is medayik from the Rambam in the 23rd paragraph of Sanhedrin that the entire that whenever the Nidon did a tova, he's pasul ladun meikra din. It's not only a midas chasidus. So the Rambam disagrees with this Tosos. But either way, Rav refused. He said, I will not be your dayan. So Amalei Rav, the Rav Kahana. So Rav told his Talmud, Rav Kahana, Pok Dine, you go and you'll serve as the dayan in my place. So Rav Kahana saw that this guy was coming into the din Torah with a certain sense of confidence that everything was going to work out, because he knew that Rav Kahana is Rav's student and Rav is his friend. So Rav Kahana said to the guy, if you want to listen to what the psak is going to be, you can listen to the psak. V'lo, and if you're not paying attention here and you think you're entitled to something, mafikna loch Rav me'unech, I'm going to take away the koach of Rav from you, meaning I'll take away any possibility of Rav helping you, because I'll put you in a nidoy, and once you're in nidoy, no one's allowed to help you. Rav is going to have to be marchik himself from you. So the Bali Atosis point out in Dibra Maschal Mafikna that even though the halacha is in Moed Katan Daf Yud Zayin that Menuda the Talmud ain't no Menuda the Rav, if a Talmud puts someone in nidoy, the Rebbe of that Talmud does not have to honor that nidoy. So therefore, if Rav Kahana puts someone in nidoy, you would think that Rav is not responsible to honor that nidoy. that's only when the Talmud is being menada someone for his own kavod. But if it's l'shem shemayim, then menuda l'talmud is menuda l'rav. So this was not an empty threat, meaning he was telling him that I have every right to put you in nidui, and Rav is going to have to honor that nidui, and Rav's not going to be able to help you. So you have to have respect for the process over here. And it goes on to say, kakaton kagadol tishmu'un, amri shlakish yechavva lecha din shal pruta, kidin shal me'amana. It should be as special to you, as beloved to you, a small claims din, as much as a very high profile, high expense kind of a case. The din shal pruta like a din of me'amana, but it that's kakaton kagadol. So the Ri'af on the Ein Yaakov says, I would have thought kakaton kagadol is talking about the Baal Din, that if the Baal Din is a katon versus the Baal Din is a gadol, you have to treat them the same. So he says, but that's not actually true. You don't treat them exactly the same. Ein mashbi and al tainas katon, right? There are certain halachos that apply to a katon, not to a gadol, or vice versa, meaning within Dinei Torah. So to be motzi min hakatan, things like that. So you have slightly different halachos. So that's why it must mean that we're talking about the size of the claim against the person. So that's kakaton kagadol. L'mai hilchasa. So what halacha are we saying that you have to treat a small claims din Torah the same as a multi-billion-dollar lawsuit? Ile meliyune beyumivsekei. If it's about coming to a psak that's true and correct, pshita, of course you got to do that. Meaning, why would you think that it's not important to come to a true and correct psak, even if it's a small amount of money? Elala gdume. No, it's about which case you hear first. That if the smaller case comes first, then you have to hear that case first, even though it may be more exciting to hear the case with the larger claim. The Ben Yoyada says, isn't that also pashut? Meaning, why would I think it's so pashut that they both have to be true din, and it's not so pashut that first come, first serve. It's not so pashut that you don't keep the small guy waiting just because a rich guy had come to Beis Din first. Isn't that also pashut? So the Ben Yoyada says, no, it's actually not so pashut, because if you have someone who stands to lose a lot of money, there's a fear that he's going to run away. And if you have someone who's, there's a claim of $50 against him, there's no fear he's going to uproot his whole life and run away, and that you're never going to be able to collect your money. So I might think that we need to take care of this din Torah of the larger claim first, so that we can keep the guy here, and we'll hopefully the person will be able to get his money. So that's the hava amina. But kamash milan, that not that way. That the first come, first serve. Lo segur mipneish. We said that you should not be fearful of any person in din. Ki amishpat elukim hu. Amar Rabbi Chama bar Rabbi Chanina. Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu. Lo dayan l'rishoyim shenotam mizamam v'nasam lezeh shelo kedin. It's bad enough that rishoyim take money from one person and give it to the other person shelo kedin against the halacha, but they bother me that I have to go out of my way to make sure that all the money ends up in the right place. Meaning that this guy that stole money, I have to make sure that he makes a bad investment, and that this thing goes south for him. And the guy who lost the money, I have to make sure that he finds something on the street that turns out to be valuable. I got to rearrange all of Bria, all of the Bria, in order to make things right. So Ben Yoyada is a little bit bothered by the lashon. Is it really a tircha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Lo yaf lo yiga. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't get tired. He doesn't get exhausted. The Navi Yeshayahu tells us, and it's very easy for Hashem to make things money go back from one place to another. Just have one guy drop something and another guy find it. Meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu could arrange that fairly easily. So what exactly is the tircha? So the Ben Yoyada suggests that sometimes the nigzal dies right away. He's in so much tsar that he drops dead, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu now has to give him back money, and he's not even alive anymore. So what does he have to do? He has to bring him back as a Gilgul, and there are Gilgulim where that are particularly challenging, like when it was a Gilgul of a Zachar that becomes in the Keva, which is a Shinoi Maisa Bereshis, and any Shinoi Maisa Bereshis is viewed as a Tircha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though nothing's really a Tircha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we refer to any Shinoi Maisa Bereshis as a Tircha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? So that's the Ben Yoyada's explanation. Okay, so then it says, "Va'adavar asher yikshe Mikem, that whatever is difficult for you, so takriven elai yishmatav, the pasuk says that if you have a din kasha, don't, and you don't know how to paskin, so bring it to me. So Amar Rabbi Chanin v'itema Rabbi Yoshia al davar zeh, when Moshe Rabbeinu said takriven elai ushmatav, as if bring it to me, and don't worry, I'll know all the answers. Nenash Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu was punished for saying that he'll know everything. Shneimar, because the pasuk, and where was he punished? Pasuk says by Ibn al Slavchad, when they went to ask him about the dinim of Yerushas Habas, ve'akriv Moshe's mishpatan lefnei Hashem, that he had to go lefnei Hashem because he didn't know the answer to the question. So he was punished in forgetting or not knowing the dinim of Nachlas Habas because he claimed that he would know everything. Maskev Nachum Yitzchak miksiv va'ashmiachem. Does it say va'ashmiachem, which implies that he'll let them know the din? Ushmativ ksiv. All Moshe Rabbeinu said is ushmat. Ushmatav, which implies gemirna, that if I've learned it, then I'll tell you what it is. Vilo azilna gemirna, and if I haven't learned it, I'll go and I'll learn it from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So it doesn't sound like Moshe Rabbeinu was being gaivadik over here. That Moshe Rabbeinu was saying that that he knows everything. That doesn't sound like what he was actually saying. And the Yun Yaakov writes, you see from here, nashara l'dayanim, that if they don't know something, they should not be embarrassed to go to other Talmidei Chachamim and consult with them and ask them. That's what you do. You speak to other experts in the field, in any field. So Talmid Chacham should do the same thing. So Ella, no, what was going on with the Parsha of Nachlos, Kidetanya. The reason the whole story with the Parsha of Nachlos happened was based on what the Braisa taught, that Ru'iya Parshas Nachlos Shetikasev Ali Devosh Rabbeinu, that really Parshas Nachlos should have been written like the rest of Torah, just through the direct teaching of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rashbam and Babasu Daf Kuf Yotes says that one could technically read the Chumash and get the impression that had B'nos Slavcha never asked their question, there never would have been a din of Yerushas Habas, that we never would have known any such din whatsoever. Had people not complained about not being able to bring Pesach Rishon because they were Tameh, there never would have been a din of Pesach Sheni. So the Gemara is telling us, no, Ru'uya Parshas Nachlos Shetikasav Ayde Moshe Rabbeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu determined what was going to be in the Torah, what was not going to be in the Torah, what the 613 mitzvahs were, what the dinim were, and they were going to be written. So it would have been Ayde Moshe Rabbeinu. Elisha Zachu B'nos Slavcha, but the B'nos Slavchad, because they had this great tshuka and ava for Eretz Yisrael, they were Nashim Tzidkanios, and therefore they were Zocha that the Parsha of Yerusha got written through them. Ruya is a parshas Mekoshesh etikasev al yedei Moshe Rabbeinu. The parsha of Mekoshesh should have been written by Moshe Rabbeinu. El shenischayev Mekoshesh v'nichtav al yada. But the Mekoshesh, when he was Mechal Shabbos, he earned that through him this parsha is written about the punishment for someone who's Mechal Shabbos. Lamedcha shemagalgalin chov al yedei chayev uzchus al yedei zakai. That the limud of Mechal Shabbos beskila comes through someone who deserved it, and the limud of Banos being Yoresh when there is no Ben comes through someone who people who deserved that. I just mentioned in a shiur the other night that Rabbi Binyamin Kamenetsky, Zichrono Levracha, in his Sefer Chelkas Binyamin that the family put out after he passed away, pointed out that there are four places in Chumash where Moshe Rabbeinu did not know what to do. There was the Banos Slavchan, Pesach Sheni, the Mekoshesh, and the Megadev. In all four cases, he did not know what to do. In two of those cases, he went to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu, one of the ways that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was different than Shara Nevi'im is that he was able to get Nevuah on demand. So he could ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu whenever he wanted. He only bothered HaKadosh Baruch Hu, though, in two of those cases. So Binyamin Kamenetsky quotes Hagrid Mi Boston. He quotes Rav Soloveitchik that the reason he dafka went in two of those cases to ask a Kodesh Baruch Hu was because it was cases of the Pesach Sheni and B'nos Slavchad, because it was people who showed a desire for Kedusha, people who showed a desire to participate in the mitzvah. So that's worth bothering a Kodesh Baruch Hu for. When a person shows that they have a desire, that they want something, I want to be able to participate in the mitzvah, I want a Chelek in Eretz Yisrael, that's worth Moshe Rabbeinu knocking on Hashem's door, so to speak. Anyway, so says Mark Siv, Pasuk says, that Moshe Rabbeinu was mitzvah of the Shoftim to direct the Tzibor in the rules of the Torah. Uksiv atzava eschem be'esahi, where Moshe Rabbeinu was mitzava the Tzibor themselves to listen to the Shoftim. So once he was mitzava the Shoftim to enforce their dinim, whether the people like it or not, why does he have to tell the people to listen to the Shoftim? They're not going to have a choice anyway. So Amr Blazer, Amr Rabbi Simlai, Pasuk says, Vatzave Shoftechem and Vatzave Eschem, because those are two separate asaros. Asar l'tzibur sh'te'em as dayan aleyan, that the tzibur has to have the proper reverence for the dayanim, and asar l'dayan sh'yispol as tzibur, and the dayanim have to have the proper level of patience with the tzibur. So that's why they each have their own responsibility. Ad kama, how much patience do you need with the tzibur? Amar Rabbi Chanan, v'item Rabbi Shabtai, kasher yisa ominasyonik, as much as a parent would have with a young baby, with a child. That's how much patience a leader needs with the tzibur. Ksiv, the pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Yeshua, ki ata tavo, that you're going to bring this to the Aretz Asher Nishma Hashem Lavosechem Lavosam. So it sounds like Yeshua is going to go into Eretz Yisrael like one of them. Uksiv, right? Ata tavo means you'll come, not that you'll bring. Uksiv ki ata tavi, but then the pasuk says, Chazak v'yamatz ki ata tavi es b'nei Yisrael, that you're going to bring the b'nei Yisrael. So it sounds like he's going to lead them and he's going to be in charge. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Moshe Yoshua, Moshe Rabbeinu initially said to Yoshua, Atav Zakenim Shabadar Imcha, that it's you and the Ziknei Adar together with you, that you shouldn't rule over everybody. You need Eitza, you need helpers, you need people that are with you in the leadership. Amla Kurashbarcha said to Yeshua, no, Tol Makal Vahachal Kadkadam, Dabarech Ludar Vein Shnei Dabarin Ludar, that you have to be the boss, that you show that nobody else is on your level, and that you're the king, you're the one in charge, and nobody else is there. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu overruled Moshe Rabbeinu. The Marsha explains that Moshe Rabbeinu figured that Yeshua is supposed to follow his Masona, that he's supposed to do exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu did. And Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't handle it all on his own, so Asfali Shiv Mishmi Ziknei Israel, he needed to put together a Sanhedrin, and he needed to rely on that Sanhedrin. So he imagined Yeshua was going to have to do the same thing, because after all, we're a religion of Masora. So says the Marsha, yeah, the Masora doesn't change, the halachas don't change, the Torah doesn't change, but circumstances change. And a person has to know when doing the exact same thing your Rebbe did and your father did is actually a shinoi of the Masora. This is the topic I'm speaking about this morning. I'm speaking in Esh Kodesh right after this. So this is the topic of sometimes, Bayomim Mehem Basman Azeh, came up with the Chab, right? So that sometimes what you did Bayomim Mehem is not what you're supposed to be doing Basman Azeh, even though we're a religion of Masora, because while the Torah doesn't change, the circumstances change. What changed in the circumstances? The people were miserable in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. They gave him so much saros. The people in the times of Yeshua were b'nei Torah. They didn't bother him so much. So he was able to be a leader on his own. So you have to know what each generation is going to require. So that is the following of the Masora. That's what Rav Shachter points out, that Yeshua imposed when they fought the battle with Yericho, he imposed the chayrim on anyone who takes spoils from Yericho. Where did he get such an idea from? So he got the idea from Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu imposed similar types of charamim. But then Achan goes and he takes from the spoils of Yericho. They lose the battle of Ai on account of that, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's your fault! You're the one that made this chayrim. Who told you to make the chayrim? What do you mean, who told him to make chayrim? He was doing exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu did. So that's what Rav Shachter points out. I think the Marsha explains that it's your fault, because Moshe Rabbeinu did it before there was a concept of Arvus, before Har Grizim Har Evel. So if one person breaks the Cherem, it's his problem. But now it's going to be all of Klal Yisrael's problem. So you can't make Charamim that are going to be all of Klal Yisrael's problem. Person has to know when the circumstances change. Okay, so now I'm prepared for this year. So Tana, Zimun Bishlosha, we have a Brisa that tells us that Zimun is Bishlosha. So my Zimun, what does it mean, Zimun is Bishlosha? Ilem, Birka Zimun, if it means to tell me that when you're benching with the Zimun is Bishlosha, Vatanya, we have a Brisa, Zimun, Birka Zimun Bishlosha, that both Zimun and Birka Zimun are Bishlosha. Sounds like they're not the same thing. Vechitem, Prushikam, Mefarish, my Zimun, Birka Zimun, and maybe it's just explaining. Zimun means Birka Zimun, Vatanya Zimun Bishlosha, Birka Zimun Bishlosha. But we have another Brisa. So it says Zimun is Bishlosha, and it says it twice. It says and Birka Zimun is Bishlosha. These are two separate things. Elamai Zimun. What is Zimun? Azmune Ledin. Zimun Bishlosha means when you subpoena someone to a Beis Din, that has to be with three people. So Kiyad Amar Rava, like Rava said, Hani Beitasa Dayani Diyasvi, if you have three Dayanim that are Yoshev Bedin, Vazal Shlich of the Beidina, and the Shliach Beis Din goes, Va'amar Mipuma Dechad, and he's Mazmin the Baldin only in the name of one of the Dayanim, Lo Amar Klum. If the guy refuses to come, we don't put him in any Nidwe for that. He didn't do anything wrong. You only told him one Dayan asked for him. That's not a Beis Din. Adam Rishmei Dekulu. You need to issue the subpoena in the name of all of the Dayanim. But how do you mean the below Yom Adidina? Al Yom Adidina Lesson. But that's only if it's not the day that the Dayanim sit Ba'ofen Kavua for Dine Torah. But if they're sitting on, you know, it's a Monday or a Thursday where they sit Ba'ofen Kavua for Dine Torah, and you're told that a Dayan wants you, you know that it means the Beis Din wants you. And therefore you're not allowed to refuse to show up to Beis Din under such circumstances, because you know it actually is the entire Beis Din. It's not just this one Dayan. Tashlumei Kefil. We then said that Tashlumei Kefil and Tashlumei Dalet Vehei is also with three Dayanim. So Shaluch Rav Nachman Bar Chisda, Rav Nachman Bar Yaakov, Yilamdenu Rabbeinu, Dine Knossos Bekama. How many Dayanim do you need to be done Dine Knossos? So he says, Michael Mibele, what kind of Shaila? Hanan Tnan Bishlosha. We just said Tashlumei Kefil, Tashlumei Rav Chamisha. These are Knossos. Knoss means that the payment does not directly correlate to the damage done. So over here, the payment is not what the damage was. It's kefal, it's dalet vehei, and it says bishlosha. It says you need three dayanim. So what kind of question? How many dayanim do you need for knossos? Ella yachid mumcha kami ba'ilei. He was asking him whether a yachid mumcha would work for dine knossos. Dan dine knossos alone. Can a yachid mumcha be dan dine knossos, or do you need three dayanim mumchin? So amar lei. So he responded to nisua. This we already know from the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says tashumi kevish tashumi arbav Chamisha bishlosha, that you need three dayanim for kefal and dal vehei. Well, my shlosha, what kind of three dayanim? Ile mishlosha adyotos, if it means three adyotos, ha'amar avua da avuch mishmei d'rav, but your zedi said in the name of Rav that afilu asaravein adyotos psul nadine knasos. That for dine knasos, you can't, even if you have 10 dayanim, if they're all adyotos, it's not going to work. Ella mumchin, so it must be the three dayanim that we're requiring for dine knasos have to be all three are mumchin v'kamar shlosha, and it said you need three, right? It didn't say you need one. That even though the premise is that we're talking about mumchin, it said that you need three of them. So that's how I know that a yachin mumchin is not going to work. Who is his zaydi that we said your avua davuch said your father's father said? This is Rav Nachman Bar Yaakov responding to what was it? Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Rav Nachman Bar Avchista. So who is Rav Nachman Bar Avchista's father? So in the Paras Yosef, he points out we have no idea who Rav Chista's father was. Right? Rav Nachman Bar Avchista's father's father would be Rav Chista's father. We have no idea who Rav Chista's father was. He says it must be that it's a typo over here, that it's avua di imech. Because Rav Chanan Bar Rava was the father-in-law of Rav Chista. So he was already a famous Amora. So he was saying, Rav Chanan Bar Rava, your maternal grandfather, who was a famous Amora, is the one that told us that it must be talking about Mumchin in our Mishnah. Okay, so now we move on to the topic that's going to take us well into tomorrow's daf. That we had a machlokas in our Mishnah, an ones, mefate, motzi shemra, that Rav Meir said it's bishlosha, and the Chum said, no, in the case of motzi shemra, you need esrim v'shlosha, you need 23 dayanim, because there's dine nefashos involved. So the Gemara's understanding, now we're talking about a case that a guy claims that his wife was mezana after they had erusin, but he doesn't have edim to that effect, and therefore he cannot be mechayev for misa, but he at least wants to be able to divorce her without having to pay the ksuba, because an eshes ish, that's mezana tachas baila, loses her ksuba. So a meir holds, since it's just a dinimum in this case, he's only trying to make her lose her ksuba, so it's bishlosha. And the chum say that nevertheless you need 23. So why would you need 23? Because sometimes there's dinim fashos involved in a motzi shema. So it says, "V'chiyesh mo dinin fashos may havi." Who cares that sometimes there's dinin fashos involved in a motzi shema? There isn't over here. Over here, there was no dinin fashos involved. The guy's just claiming the ksuba. So there is only dinin mamonis. So why would the chacham mold? You need 23 dayanim. So eight explanations on the machlokas. Explanation number one: we're not going to get to eight today, but we'll get through a few of them. Explanation number one: Amru ula b'choshin l'laz kamiflgi. Rameir and the Chacham are disagreeing whether we have to be choshin Chiddush that because a call is going to go out that this guy is accusing his wife of having cheated on him, that maybe Edom are going to come, the Edom that he was unaware existed are going to come, and they'll be made that she was Mizana, and now they're going to, the Din Torah is not only going to be about the money, now it's going to be about killing her as well, and now they're going to need 23 Dayanim. So Meir Savar Eichel Shem Laz, so you could do the Pesach Din Al Pi Shosha Dayanim, you don't have to worry about any Laz. For Rabbanan Savri Choshen Laz, that since it's going to lead to Din and Fashos, so we should start with 23 Dayanim, because it doesn't because anyway you're likely to end up there anyhow, right? You're likely to end up, meaning once word gets out, it's going to be scandalous. This guy's claiming his wife cheated on him. Everyone finds out about it whenever there are such cases in a neighborhood, wherever the rabbis of that neighborhood go. People say, "What's going on in your neighborhood?" Right? Everyone finds out about these kinds of things. So you have to be. So it's a question of choshishin of choshin lelaz. So if it's gonna get out anyway, and we're anyway gonna have to have 23 dayanim. So you might as well start with the 23 dayanim. The Chidush Aran asks that that's not what the words choshin lelaz meaning. The ikar tam is not mefurish in the Gemara if that's what it really means, that you're gonna need 23 dayanim anyway. And also laz usually means something not right. Over here, laws is something that's perfectly fine. Meaning the way the Gemara is saying is, okay, more people find out about it, more evidence will come to light. That's great. We want more evidence to come to light. Meaning that, why is that a laz? So he says, the Chidush Aran says that the chashash for laz is on the original dayanim. That if Edom are going to come that she was mizana, now we're going to have to add 20 more dayanim. People are going to start saying, oh, these first dayanim must have not been qualified enough, and that's why they have to add so many more dayanim. So it's a laz against the dayanim that we're worried about, not just stam, that we might as well have 23 dayanim because the case may end up there anyway. So that's the first explanation of the machlokas. Rava Amar, Kuli Amu Laz Lo Cheshinan. Everyone says we're not worried that it's going to turn into a case of 23 dayanim, and therefore we're not choshesh for laz. V'acha b'choshen l'kvodin shal rishonim k'mifli. Over here, the question is, are we choshesh for the kavod of the original dayanim? V'acha mayaskinan, and the case in particular is over here, kigon di'iknif be'esrin netlasa, the Maidan Dinin Nefashos, that a basin of 23 Dayanim gathered together to Dan Dinin Nefashos because they heard a guy came and claimed that his wife was Mizana, so it's Dinin Nefashos, the Ibadur. And then they the Dayanim scattered out, Va'amaluhu, and the Baal said to the Dayanim, Dainu Limia Dinin Mamanus, meaning the case was over, they couldn't find Edim, there was no Dinin Nefashos. So then the Baal said, but wait, what about the Dinin Mamanus part? I would like you to at least be done my Dinin Mamanus so that I don't have to pay the ksuba. So Rav Meir holds that for that you only need 3 dayanim. And the Chum say, no, Rechoshish for the cover of the original dayanim, that you're going to dismiss 20 dayanim from the case, that's not going to look good for them. So they ask on this, the Chumim Omrim, the Chum disagree with Rav Meir and our Mishnah, and they say, Tava'o mamon bishlosha, Tava'o nefashos be'esrim bishlosha. That if you're Tavea money, so then you only need 3 dayanim. If the husband was claiming nefashos, then it's 23 dayanim. Well, Bish Lama, I understand very well according to Rava that it's Tava Umamun Tchila, that if the Baal doesn't have any Edim that she was Mizana, so he's only coming to be Tovea Mamun to make her lose her Ksuba. So Bishlosha, it's 3 Dayanim, Tava Nefashos Tchila, but if he comes initially claiming that she should be Chayiv Misa, then Afilu Mamun Basim Bishlosha, then even if that doesn't come to fruition, and what comes out is only that he's going to have a Din on Dinim Mamunus, it's still going to be the 23 Dayanim. Ula, but according to Ula, who says that we're choshesh that when Edom are going to hear that he was Tovea, that she was Mizana, Edom will come to light and they'll show up to Beis Din and she'll be Chayiv Misa, Kasha, how are you going to explain the phrase Tava'o Mamun B'Shlosha? It should always be Esrim B'Shlosha according to Ula, because we always have to be choshesh more people are going to show up. So Rava, Aniva Arisha B'Chabura Targimna. Rava says, me and the strongest one in learning among us will explain this to you. Umanu, who is the Arisha B'Chabura? Reb Chiya Bar Avin. It's Reb Chiya Bar Avin, right? He's the Arisha B'Chabura. So Hachamayaskin. So they explain what's the case. Shevia bal edim shazinsa. The husband brings edim that the wife was mezana. Vevia av edim vezimim leidei abal. The father of the girl brings edim that are mazim the edei abal. That's a manu isam to the edei abal. So you can't possibly know about any sort of zinus. So the husband was motzi shemra against the wife, and now the husband is going to have to pay the father meyaslaim as a kenas. So bal ligvos mamon. If the father comes to collect money min bal from the from the husband, bishlosha, then you only need 3 dayanim. Ubimakom nefashos. But in the case that the Mishnah spoke about, that he was tainas that she was mezana, and he makes her, wants her to lose suksuma, we have to be choshesh that edim will come and it will turn into a din in nefashos case. Then biyasim bishlosha. So when the lawsuit goes in the other direction, because the father was already demonstrated that the husband was a motzi shemra, so the only claim the father could ever have against the son-in-law is going to be a monetary case. Okay, so that's shlosha. But when the husband is making a claim against the wife, where it could very easily turn into a dinei nefashos case, that's going to be esrim v'shlosha. Abaye yomar, a third interpretation, that to kulei alma, everyone agrees, chayshinan lelaz, that we are choshesh that it's going to turn into a dinei nefashos case. Umishum kvodan shal rishonim, and everyone holds that we are worried about the covenant of the rishonim. V'achol ma'eskinon, over here, the Mishnah talking back on the asubastan, that the Baal brings edim that the wife was mezana, and he go in front of a basin of shlosha, and the edim said that they warned him about warned her about misa stam without saying that the onesh is going to be a skila. And Rav Meir holds that since they didn't say what misa she's going to be punished, that's not a dina nefashos case, and it's only a ksuba case, and that's bishlosha v'haytanahu. And this svara assumes like the following tana, like the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda as follows. Titania, because we have a tosefta that after it teaches us the dinim of a mesis, that you kill him even if you don't know at the time that he was mesis, that even if he was unaware at the time that he was mesis, that edim were watching what he was doing. Ushar kol chayavim mis shabatora ein mamisim l'sam ela be'edo ve'edim v'asra. Mesis is unique. All other misos in the Torah, it's only going to work if there's 23 dayanim. It's if there are edim that are made about the avera and they gave asra in advance, so he knew he was being watched by these edim. Misa be'beis din, and they have to let him know you're going to be chayiv misa in beis din. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ach yodiu be'eis a misa hu narag. And Rabbi Yehuda says not enough that they tell him he's going to be chayiv misa; they have to tell him exactly which misa. But if they just give him a stam asra without telling him which misa, that's not dinei nefashos. That's only going to be with 3 dayanim. But the chamold that as long as they gave him asra for misa, it's going to be 23 dayanim, and that's the machlokes of Mishnah. One more explanation for today. Fourth. Rav Papa Amar, Hacha B'isha Chavera Askinan. Over here we're talking about a woman who knows halacha really well. So she knows that Amnara Murasa, that's Mezana, is Chayiv Skila. And the Baal brings Aiden that she was Mezana. And they say, we didn't give her any Asra, because she knows all the halachos. The Kamifli Beplukted, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudav Rabbanan, and the Nukudas HaMachlokas, whether you need 3 dayanim or 23 dayanim for such a case, is Machlokas. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudav Rabbanan, Titania, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudav Amar, Chaver, Ein Tzarech Asra. If a person is very knowledgeable, they know all the halachos, they know what the punishment is, then you don't need to give them hasra that something is asr before the Maisa Avera, because they know exactly what it is. They know what they're doing. They know what the punishment is. The whole purpose of hasra is just to be able to know that the person is doing it b'mezid. So Talmud Chacham doesn't need that, doesn't require hasra. And the Chacham disagree and think that a chaver does require hasra. And that's what's going on in our Mishnah. The Rameir holds that even though she's a chavera, she does not get killed without hasra, and it's not dinei nefashos, and you only need three dayanim, but the Rabbanan hold that she doesn't require asra'a, and therefore it will be a dinei nefashos case, and you're going to need 23 dayanim. So Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Ravashi Yamar, the fifth of the 8 explanations in this machlokas, whether you need 3 or 23 dayanim. Have a great day, everybody. See ya.